and tired.
Oh, wow, that's different.
Please. Oh,
vent a little bit, Tanner.
Brady and Brian.
Thanks, Tanner.
Angel, they don't get it.
No, you know,
if they
we really don't.
If Coors Field could get packed full of fans like you and I, we'd be great. Tired of seeing all those other road fans there, man. The Cardinals fans there drives me insane. Come on. I get it's easy to knock on the Rockies, but as Dick Monfort once said, we're lucky to have a team here in Colorado.
No, I don't even know. The Rockies. They're like my, like I said, they're like my kid who I know is playing football, but I know he ain't going to start.
Yeah.
You know, I'm there to cheer.
What has turned you off of them, of this 5-8 start? Again, the expectations were very low. When you guys say it's going to be a horrible year this year, why?
Well, normally April is their fun time.
Right.
That's when we're like, oh,
false hope.
There's no false hope right now.
Because this is the team that they're going to be. They're going to be about a 500 team this year. If they go 81-81, that's a successful year.
How can you see this team winning 81 games?
The foundations are there. You're seeing the foundations being set from the young guys and Diaz and Daza yesterday and Tovar.
It's like I told you on the phone yesterday. I mean, we were venting back and forth. We talked about the bullpen hasn't been that bad. Well, it's early, so usually the bullpen starts to deteriorate by the time we get into midsummer.
But the difference is going to be you're going to have two of your best guys coming back in Tyler Kinley and Daniel Bard. So you're going to be able to bolster that just by adding a couple of those guys there.
Oh, man.
The young guys are making moves. Montero's been fantastic. Tovar's been there. The problem is that you're having CJ Cron should not be in the top five in your batting order. He's got to be batting sixth or seventh. You got to move him down. He has been just horrible. So the young guys are showing enough for me that I think that the old guys will get it going at some point. Cron's not going to do what he did last year. But Chris Bryant has been hitting in every game he's played.
Why is Chris Bryant not playing?
No, I don't have
it.
This is the first
time. Makes zero sense.
It's the first time, I think, that the Rockies fans, we got to look at Bud Black a little bit because there's been some bizarre things. Your point about pulling Kyle Freeland too early in that game when they ended up losing to the Cardinals. But really, when you look at it on paper, the Rockies should have been swept by the Cardinals. And really, when after the games have been played, they should have swept the Cardinals. You know, yesterday was kind of iffy, but again, a big error that gives up a bunch of runs. You know, you're up 6-2 against the Cardinals. Big error gives up four runs, ties it up. So it's just those stupid errors from guys who are normally not making those errors that
they should have swept the Cardinals.
They should have.
They should. What?
They should have. You eliminate those two errors.
Recount those runs.
If the Nuggets would have scored 10 more points against the Lakers in that final game, they would have won the Western Western Conference Finals a few years ago.
No.
If the Broncos just would have scored, Broncos would have just scored average 21 points a game, they would have won 11 games last year in the playoffs.
That's a lot different than one instant in the game where you say, okay, that flipped the entire game.
Isn't that professional sports? It's a lot of time. It's one instant in a game.
No.
One instance in a game.
Not like it is in baseball. The Rockies are winning the pennant. all right, Coach Speak coming up next. Bruce Dick going to be talking with Frank Gonzalez. Marco Gonzalez going to be on the mound for the Mariners on Friday. Frank, can we announce the coaches? Can we announce that? Yeah. Yeah, I kind of already did. We're going to have a Frank Gonzalez show.
Going to have the Frank Gonzalez show every single week inside Coach Speak. It's going to be awesome.
Frank's going to be on with Bruce next. That'll do it for us. For Brian Carey, who's staring at me. For Angel Padilla, I'm Tanner Schwint. We'll talk to you on a Friday. We love you, Northern Colorado.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Look, man, hour number four of Good Morning NoCo. I am Tanner Schwint. That's Brian Carey. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Here on a Thursday, the sun hasn't broken through yet out there. Still kind of a cloudy, gray start to the morning, Brian.
Yeah, it is. And what we're going to see is the winds pick up, especially after noon. From noon until about 8 o'clock, it looks like things will really get blowing big time, which is going to increase that fire danger immensely, as we could have gusts up around 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, we certainly could and probably will have that. But we are in a red flag warning right now, so
yes.
Not a good day for any of those controlled burns. If you're going to do it, get it out of the way this morning if you're burning ditches and things like that. And I've been seeing a lot more of that go on as the weather turns and gets nicer. I completely understand people needing to do it, but make sure you're doing it in a safe and responsible way.
Yeah, it ain't going to be a good idea this afternoon. It's going to get drier and drier with this before the winds blow in what it's blowing in, and that is a cold front that's going to bring some moisture. And whether that's going to be rain or snow, going to depend degree from degree of where we're at, you know. But definitely going to be a system moving in. The wind is going to be the major factor, and we could get some precip out of it as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance of some precipitation.
Friday and Saturday.
I'm thinking it's going to be more rain than snow at this point with the weather that we're seeing being 52 the high tomorrow. But that's kind of what's going on in the weather. We'll have Denver and Front Range weather meteorologist Cody Wilson on tomorrow morning at 9:30 to join us. But joining us now, right now up on the line, is Carrie Doolin, Jones Doolin from Kane Doolin McQuinn Young. Carrie, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm great. Good morning.
Thanks for being with us. My partner, my co-host here, Brian Gary.
Nice to meet you, Carrie. Thank you so much for taking some time to jump on the show and for supporting Good Morning NoCo. We really appreciate you being part of the family.
Well, it's good to meet you, and I'm honored to be here.
Now, we're excited to have it. So, Carrie, let's get to know you a little bit first before we dive in and talk some personal injury stuff here. How did you get into the law practice? Was it how did you come about? Because if I recall right, you're from a small town, right, Carrie?
Very small town. Very small town in Iowa. I actually grew up wanting to be a lawyer, if you can believe it or not, and I have zero lawyers in my family, so I have no idea where the heck that came from.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. Yep.
Super, super weird. Super yeah. weird. And somehow they let me in, so which is great. So just barely. I was at the University of Iowa in undergrad and then ended up going to law school at Drake, which is in Des Moines, and just had the best experience. And then before that, though, what reinforced my wanting to be a lawyer was I did some social work for about 7-8 months and actually thought I wanted to be a prosecutor. That's what I went into law school thinking and came out and had some different ideas and then moved out to Colorado and basically said Colorado or bust, didn't have a dime to my name and came out here and just thought, man, I'm going to make it in the big old city and let's see what happens. Yeah. So got into personal injury, and then the rest is history.
Now, that's what led you one way or another? Because I think for a lot of people, we just think, oh, they're in law. They do everything. But it's so much more specialized than that. And what was it about this particular branch that appealed to you and made you want to dive in?
Yeah, so it was as close as I could get to getting justice for clients without being a prosecutor. And, you know, I think the highest calling in the world is to do either, you know, prosecutorial work or criminal defense work, no doubt about that. But I wasn't necessarily interested in that. And I have to say that, you know, in the civil justice system, all you can get by way of justice is money for your clients. But I really felt like what am I capable of doing for a client that is going to change their life? And that's why personal injury work just really fed that need and that want in my career.
Well, just hearing you say that, just to me, says everything about why you are so successful at what you do. Because if I were somebody, just knowing that who I've got in my corner feels that way, that's something pretty special. And I'm imagining that runs through the whole firm.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, really and truly doing plaintiff side personal injury work is to represent David against Goliath. And so you have to be comfortable and feel good about advocating for the little person, because you are essentially in every case, no matter the facts, what you're advocating for is fighting for a client against an insurance company. And that's tough. And a tough part about what we do is really holding our clients' hands and guiding them through really and truly the worst moments in their life. And that is really what has bonded myself and my three partners, who are, of course, I think, amazing. And that is an opinion that we all share, is it's not just about getting a victory. It's about guiding your clients through this you know, at points, terrifying and horrible process through the litigation system.
No, it is. And it starts off from, you know, just from one of those most tragic, you know, almost out of mind, out of body experiences when you've been hit in a car accident or injured in a car accident. Right. And then you start from there. So I want to talk, because we talk about negligent drivers a lot. We talk about that.
Yep.
What is defined as a negligent driver? I know that's probably a stupid question, but that's something that a lot of people don't know. What is deemed negligent?
Yeah, it's really the failure to do what a reasonable person would do, right? And so I'll give you just the most basic case that we see quite frequently, and it's, you know, we have a client that was rear-ended by another vehicle, and God forbid, a big old semi. And it's where you have the typical situation where the driver behind our client wasn't paying attention. And what a reasonable person should do on the road is pay attention to the road in front of them, right? So it's literally just the failure to do what's reasonable, and most importantly, the failure to do what is safe.
No, and that is something that when you look up here in Northern Colorado, you know, we do have semi-trucks all over the place.
Yeah.
We've got big equipment. And we talked, Carrie, when we first sat down and spoke down in your at your office, we were talking about the fact that, listen, I come from a family of truck drivers, right? I've got relatives everywhere. There's a lot of good trucking companies out there who do things the right way, and you guys understand that. And there's nothing that irritates me more than you see, you know, those just cheesy ads saying, trying to blame everything on the truck drivers. That's not how you guys feel.
No, and let me tell you what our perspective is. You know, we run a lot of focus groups, right? So the mock juries, because let's face it, as lawyers, we shouldn't really care what our opinions are. We need to focus on what a jury would do with a case. So we run those quite frequently. And juries look at truck drivers as Santa Claus. That's how they view truck drivers. And why is that? Because most truck drivers are good, safe drivers. That's the reality, and that's truly how we – I mean, I grew up in trucking country, too. I mean, hog confinement country is where I'm from. So, I mean, the most vehicles on the road where I'm from are trucks, and it is an important part of our society. So our belief is, you know, truly, mainly truck drivers are safe. The majority of them are. But in every profession, you've got some bad apples, right? Every profession. And it's the companies, and not even necessarily the drivers, it's the companies that allow unsafe policies and sometimes put their drivers in the driving seat when they shouldn't be there. They force them to. And so that's oftentimes the cases that we take are the cases where the company is unsafe because they're putting their drivers in a position where it's just unsafe to drive. And so what we're about are representing clients that have been injured because of those few bad apples that are out there.
You know, we're visiting with Carrie Jones Doolin from McCain, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young. And I'm wondering, Carrie, these days there are so many distracted people. I mean, we all know, and I'm sure you have seen it more than most of us in your profession. But the roads, to me, are more dangerous than they've ever been because people are doing more than one thing. Now, how hard is it to prove that somebody was a distracted driver? I mean, is that a common, you know, case that you have that you're trying to prove someone was a distracted driver at the time? And that could be anything from food, music, to whatever made them distracted.
Absolutely. And here's how we approach our car crash and trucking cases. We automatically assume that the person that was driving that hit our client was distracted. So we out of the gate, that's what we assume, and that's how we approach our cases. Because you're spot on. It's not just cell phone distraction. It's the radio, it's food, it's directions, it's maybe they've got an animal. I mean, we've seen it all. You name it, right? Proving it can be difficult, but we're pretty darn good at it. Because the reality, I don't mean to brag.
No, you
I'm really not a bragger.
You should.
But
we're a nice pretty good at it. Brag right there. That's good.
we know what to look for. We know what to look for. And that's why right out of the gate, that's what we're going to try to prove. Because if you think about it, if somebody is crashing into your client, why does that happen? Because they weren't paying attention.
That's exactly right.
Right? So, yeah. That's how we approach our cases.
Well, and I think it's cool, you know, your website, trialproven.com, because every lawyer out there is going to say, well, you know, I've got this trial experience. But why that makes a difference, right, is because these insurance companies, when they see this, they'll just cut a check and try and have people just take that first check when in reality there's more money, and you guys aren't afraid to take that insurance company to task.
No. I mean, not only do we play a real darn good game of chicken, because that's what happens right before trial, right? Because everybody's trying, basically the insurance company is trying to figure out if you're actually going to try that darn case. But what's great about our firm is they don't question it. They know it. And so I think I think our firm out of the firms in Colorado probably, if not tried the most cases, got pretty darn close, was at least the top three firms that tried the most cases in the state of Colorado. So that is where we are comfortable, is in the courtroom. That's where justice happens, because, you know, as you're litigating that case, you have an insurance company telling you what your client's case is worth. And we don't even listen to that, because we just say, yeah, we only care about what a jury thinks our client's case is worth. And that's the best day. That's the best day, is when we get to walk into that courtroom and say, finally, our client gets to tell their story.
No, it is the, yeah. The work that you guys do is awesome down there at Kane Doolin McQuinn Young at trialproven.com. Last question for you, Carrie, you here. What is a super lawyer?
Oh, man. Well,
you are a super lawyer, according to Super Lawyers. You were a rising star for a while, and yeah. Now you're a super lawyer. Define a super lawyer for me.
Yeah, I mean, you get a cape, and I leap off of my building. It's so cool. Yeah, I always wanted to be Superwoman. It's actually the highest compliment. It's a peer award, so you are nominated by your peers. And it's just truly the highest honor, you know, because, man, there are some just amazing lawyers in the state, and I get to work with a bunch of them. And so when you get to be nominated by your peers as a super lawyer, that's a pretty darn good day. So I am truly honored.
No, you're incredible at what you do. Everybody down there is really enjoyed working with you guys. And, you know, for a bunch of people who use a lot of big words, you would have thought there would have been a different name than super lawyer there. I figured there would have been a bigger word there to describe you guys.
Keep it simple.
I like
Keep
that.
Keep it simple.
Carrie,
yeah.
Thank you so much for your time today. Again, reach out to Kane Doolin McQuinn Young, 303-246-1111 for a free consult, or online at trialproven.com. Carrie, you're awesome. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you. Thank you so much, guys.
Take care.
There you go. There is Carrie Jones Doolin. That's what I'm talking about.
Love that personality.
Oh, yeah.
And I really do. And the drive. And you just hear it. They sell themselves well, because it's just who they are.
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of selling needed.
Yeah.
Seriously, go check it out. I was just curious because it said super lawyer. And I'm like, what?
I was picturing cape.
Yeah.
I mean, I really was.
Great answer by that. Great answer by her, because she had
she
no
was.
Idea I was throwing that
nope.
at her. And I was also shocked that she didn't get into this line of work because of the advertising that they get to do, those cheesy ads that are everywhere that are lying to everybody. I'm surprised that's not
no,
why
she
got
into
there.
It for the live spots with us.
That's right.
It, yeah.
And for the real reasons that matter, taking care of good people here
exactly.
in Colorado. 919, it's Good Morning NoCo. We'll be right back. .22 the time. It's Good Morning NoCo. Right here on North Dakota's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Clearwater Products, man. Already love the partnership that we've got with them. If you see one of us, we're going to be rocking and sporting these incredible hoodies that they got for us. These
so nice.
Sweatshirts.
Brody's a great guy.
Yeah, they all are over there, man. There's a big team that makes Clearwater Products work. And rumor has it, we're going to be having some KFK shirts. We're going to be getting some swag from them, too, to give away to you guys. So you can rock us and keep rocking us here on the radio as well. But they've got their storefront now, Brian, that is really awesome. I know you got a chance to go down there the other day.
I did, and they're at 2021 First Avenue in Greeley. Now, they have been supporting the agriculture, oil, and gas industry for 10 years now, since 2013. Now they've got the big storefront to help you even more, and that they've kind of got that home base. When you go inside, big building. I mean, the storefront is huge. Great parking lot, but inside you're going to find those hose assemblies, the fittings, the couplers, all those things that you're going to need when you're out there on the job. And here's the great thing, too. You know, if they don't have it, a lot of times you get one of those projects where it's like, man, nothing quite fits. If I could just fabricate this a little bit, they do that. They can custom build stuff for you to make sure you've got the fit you need. And a great service they offer. Tanner, you've talked about that. When you're in the middle of a project out in the field,
boy,
you've got to stop to run in and pick something up that you need, get back. You've just killed 2 hours of what could have been a real productive time. They deliver. They can bring it out to you so you can keep doing what you do. And that is one of those extras that really makes them the kings in customer service when it comes to this industry.
Well, you get working. You know how it is. You get working on a project. It's like in the middle of our show, 7:30, all of a sudden we're like, oh, well, the mic just went out. We're going to have to go back and get one. When you get back, are you going to be able to pick up right where you left off and keep on that same train of thought that you're
absolutely
on?
Absolutely not. No. Same thing with the projects you're talking about.
That's exactly right. So check them out. It is Clear Water Products, 970-373-8891. That's 970-673-8891. I was looking at this schedule for Ball Arena. Ball Arena is going to be busy here the next week with the Nuggets
Lots
getting underway.
Concerts and stuff too.
Sunday, the Avalanche. It's going to be Sunday night for the Nuggets. I don't think they won't play. Is it back to back, Angel? I know you had the schedule for their first round match
for the Nuggets.
I don't
think they would play Sunday and then Wednesday.
Sunday, Tuesday.
I think it's Wednesday.
Is it Wednesday?
They released their schedule yesterday for the first series. So game one is Sunday, game two Wednesday, and then Friday, Sunday again for 3 and 4.
So how this is going to shape up tentatively with Colorado Avalanche is they have their last regular season home game tonight. It'll be Sunday, Nuggets, Tuesday, Avalanche, Wednesday, Nuggets, Thursday, Avalanche. So you're going to have three of the days that week with playoff, either hockey or basketball on the tube. We've almost made it, boys. Almost made it.
It's absolutely awesome. And then you could get a taste of the Rockies in between to cleanse your palate of victory. And then
leave my Rockies alone.
Sorry.
They're going up. They're on the road. I think Friday in Seattle, taking on the Mariners. Fort Collins pitching standout Marco Gonzalez is going to be on the bump.
Is that right?
For Seattle, yeah, he's going to be going for Seattle there. So a lot of great ties there, and really happy. We got some exciting stuff in the work with Frank Gonzalez, who is the manager for the NoCo Owls. So we've got some stuff that's going on there. That is Marco's dad. So we've got some really exciting stuff in the work there as well.
That is very cool. Now I'm just wondering. This Rockies bus that you guys have. You haven't talked about it a lot this year, you know, compared to last year.
Yeah.
It seems like you have a lot less confidence. But I'm wondering, Angel has talked many times about how he keeps the thing clean.
Yeah.
You know, that he does that. I'm just wondering if they hit the taco mark, you know, on road games compared to home games, when does it get messier? You know, because or is there really any experience in a road victory where they've hit tacos? Has that ever happened, guys?
We don't necessarily have to just celebrate tacos and victories. We get tacos. We could lose, and we're still going to get tacos. So that just as long as they score 7 runs, we're still going to have them. But
yeah, it's really the delivery of the tacos. Like when they score 7 and they get the taco special, they fall from the ceiling. If it doesn't happen, that we just hand them out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
So, yeah, it's about the presentation of it.
Okay.
Makes it feel important.
It makes great sense.
Listen, he handles all the behind-the-scenes stuff. I just drive the damn thing.
That's it. Now, do you have, like, big condiment dispensers on the bus?
It's a taco. What do you mean?
Well, no, but you got to have hot sauce.
I mean, it comes with a mild and a medium hot sauce packet.
Oh, you get
just
okay.
One.
Okay, very
one
good.
Each.
One of each.
You get I like to know, because I don't know that this has happened. They rode... You're very slim on the road victories, hasn't it been? Over the years, guys?
They've been horrible on the road. Last year, they were really bad on the road. But, you know, maybe this year will be different. It's the stupid fans. Because their home games are like road games, right, Angel?
I mean, yeah.
What?
Like 50,000 Cardinals fans there yesterday.
Nothing more annoying than that.
What if you, I mean, as a Rockies fan, what if every day you bet on them to lose? At the end of the year, say you put a $5 bet every day just on the opposite team, the team that the Rockies are playing. How would you be sitting at the end of the season financially on a gambling site?
I think you'd actually lose money.
Do you really?
Because teams are going to be favored by so much when they're playing the Rockies that the payout's not going to be good.
So when the Rockies do win,
it would actually
be long shot
to do the other way and put $5 on the Rockies to win every game, which I know sounds crazy, but
yeah, it does.
There's such a long shot that, you know, that $5 is going to pay out a lot more than your five. You know, you take out the Dodgers, for example, that they're minus 280 favorites, that $5 is going to win you $0.47 or something like that. So you're not going to win a whole lot. But if the Rockies pull off the upset that day, that $5 is going to win you another, you know, $8, $9, $10,
which is enough to pay for the next three losses.
Right.
So
right. No, that's exactly, that's actually the school of thought on it, is that if you take a team like that, I don't know. I don't know how that math breaks
that
down.
That would be really interesting, though. I'd like to, some season, it would be interesting.
No, I'll let you know $1 a day.
One.
I'll let you know at the end of this
one. You know, $1 a day.
I've missed a couple so far, but that's about it. That's about it.
Let's get started. $1 a game and just see where you end up at the end of a season.
All right. I'm in on that.
I think it's going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I do too. So are you going to bet on them to lose every day, and I'll bet on them to win every day?
I have no money, Tanner.
That's right. This is your idea, man.
No, that's why I was asking if there was free hot sauce on the bus. I was going.
It's Good Morning Noco. Don't you worry, the Rockies bus. We got the horn. Can we hear the horn once? Do we have that at least, or is the horn broken after? There it is. We're up and rolling still. The Rockies bus is still trugging along here. Chug along, trudging along, whatever you want to call it, whatever adjective. 9:30 the time. It's Good Morning, Noco. Martin Marietta, the leader in construction and heavy highway industry in Northern Colorado, is looking to add you to their team. They're actively hiring for several different positions, Class A, B, CDL drivers over there. They've got other positions open as well. All you need to go do is check out martinmarietta.com/careers. That's martinmarietta.com/careers. Our Happy Life Gardens poll question today is, what are you planting in your garden this year? Always love the strawberries that you're getting in there. And we'll talk more with Brady Hole when he comes in next about his pickles, because apparently he still has some jarred up, and now he's trying to charge me $50 per pickle, which he was giving them away earlier, so may have some negotiations going on air.
Well, let us know what you've got growing in your garden. Stacy, like a lot of us, says dandelions. You know, so
I like that. Let's see here. What do we got? Kelly says that her father-in-law is planting tomatoes for her, but I would love to have some cucumbers. Bond said a salsa garden. So a lot of the tomatoes and stuff like that to turn into salsa. Brittany says dahlias as well.
Now, there are some. I've had a year where we were planting cucumbers, and I was eating a lot of cucumbers, and they would not stop.
The cucumbers?
Oh, my
no, they don't
God.
Stop.
We would put them in the fridge, and you would go out the next day and go, please don't let their good God almighty. There's another eight, you know, and you keep bringing them in. It would not quit bearing cucumbers.
Now, zucchinis are kind of the same way, too. I don't know if you've ever tried.
Yeah.
They just, and I always like to see just how long you can let them grow for them. Like, I'm going to set a record here.
Yeah.
I never do. It dies before then. But no, those are the same way. You get gardens that can get out of control, which is a good problem to have.
And it's weird from year to year, because it can be one of those years where all of a sudden your tomatoes go absolutely crazy, and then another year you struggle to get one.
Yeah, that is exactly right. Well, I know Brady Hole's got a green thumb, so we'll talk with him about it next as well. But first, let's get to the bottom of the hour news and weather center. Are the Colorado Rockies as an organization more prestigious than the Denver Nuggets?
Oh, my.
You're going right there.
Why?
That texter yesterday, they had a good point, man.
Did they win the World Series?
They got there, at least.
Did they win it?
Have the Nuggets been there?
No.
Okay.
They don't play baseball.
Yeah, Nuggets.
They'll never make a World
Joker
Series.
Joker might be able to actually put a ball and play better than CJ Cron at this point.
I can't argue that. I'm just saying.
Okay, just be honest. Would you rather have the one World Series trip, you didn't win it, trip, and then four other playoff appearances, or the Nuggets, what, 20 playoff appearances? I don't know, 25, plus three Western Conference Finals trips, two-time MVP?
It's tough. If you're talking about, we consistently have a team that we could cheer for in the Nuggets,
yep.
and they're going to give you at least some hope that they could advance.
Every year, right. For the most part, save for a couple of tough times with Brian Shaw and then the pre-George Karl era and a little bit of the half and half of the 90s, but for the most part, you've had a lot of success with the Denver Nuggets. The Rockies, you had one season.
Yes.
One season.
But they're so embraced, and they are held to such an esteem that those few times they did make it was so special.
It was.
That it weighs when you look at, okay, they were. It was only like three seasons of great rockiness, and we've had all of these almost their nugget seasons. But the fact that they did get to that World Series and we had that moment was so special and so big and so exciting. We haven't had the Nuggets get to a point where every city and surrounding community was going Nugget crazy.
I'll give you this. This state is more of a baseball state. But in terms of just sports, when we're talking about overall greatness, the Nuggets are a far greater franchise than the Rockies.
Agree with that.
Far greater.
I agree with that. I would trade all those playoff appearances in for that one run. It was such a magical run, even though we lost.
If the Nuggets had gone to only five playoffs in their franchise, they wouldn't have any fans. The Rockies have to have the World Series trip. The Nuggets are it's basketball, so it's just again you're either great or you're nothing. So if the Nuggets had just gone to five playoff appearances in their franchise history,
well, and it's been a lot easier to make the playoffs in the NBA than it is baseball. Now they've changed that by adding an extra wild card team, but so did they.
Some would argue. So you don't have a salary cap in baseball. You just have an owner that doesn't know how to play ball, so to speak.
I like that. But just the pure numbers of teams that get in. There's more teams that get into the playoffs in the NBA, so it's easier to get into the playoffs in the NBA than it is in baseball.
Percentage-wise, you have a higher percentage chance of making the playoffs in the NBA.
Right.
Yes, but as far as franchise go,
well,
but that season of the Rockies, that trumps all of those seasons of the Nuggets as far as getting excitement.
If you want to have an argument about that, you got to go back and look at the Nuggets weren't always an eighth seed. They were typically like fifth or fourth seed.
Right.
You know, so it wasn't like, they were a crappy team that just when they were getting in the playoffs, they were typically a middle of the road as far as Western Conference playoff teams, so like a fifth or sixth. So it's not that argument's kind of weird because it's like they weren't just getting in like the Oklahoma City Thunder or something like that. They were in the eighth seed a few times. But,
no, when you look at Allen Iverson and, when they brought him in, during the Melo days and, during the Davis time and, all the different, but when Bryant Stith and these guys, but the Kmart times and all those, you can look at all those eras and have great memories through all those of watching them compete.
Well, yeah.
Trying to get up. There was really only one period of time, the Blair Rasmussen and Danny Shays kind of time, when Alex English was with them, where they would really where they would really struggle to get into the playoffs.
But keep in mind,
Abdul Rauf back then, he was crazy good, at the time.
Keep in mind the three Western Conference Finals appearances that they had: Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. That's who they faced. And those three Western Conference, three of the greatest players of all time.
Why I don't want to play the Lakers in the playoffs.
And I'm glad we're not playing in the first round.
Yep.
If they would have won, we're having a different conversation. But there's a huge, just ask the Buffalo Bills how different winning a Super Bowl is and not winning a Super Bowl is. If they would have won the World Series,
from the Vikings too.
If the Rockies had won that year, you might have something. Because we've always talked about, would you trade 20 years of crap? Trade 20 years of crap for a 1 year World Series win or championship win?
You even said,
and the Rockies signed that deal. They just didn't win. They didn't read the fine print.
Yeah. They won the NL. But you even said, that year it did. It took almost just short of an act of God.
Just
for
because
them to go
there's more casual fans for the Rockies doesn't mean that they're a greater franchise.
No, but there's this call it a stigma, call it whatever you want, but it's like as soon as the Nuggets make the playoffs, everybody is expecting them to get bounced in the first, second round of the playoffs because that's all they've done in all their trips that they made to the playoffs outside of three times of making it to at least the Western Conference Finals.
What are you talking about? Haven't got bounced in the Michael Malone era.
They don't make it deep. Outside of those 3 years that they made the Western Conference Finals, and one of those was the bubble, which we all agree on really doesn't
count.
They
went against the Suns in the second round.
But they get bounced in the first or second round, so they get to the playoffs.
No, he added second onto that.
I said first and second the first time. I did, but that's what I'm saying is like we get used to, it's great. They'll make the playoffs. We'll see you again, and we'll get excited for another great regular season. This team, the Nuggets, are a great regular season team. I mean, even going back to the George Karl days, right? That's, he got fired after being the coach of the year, which is just a weird move. I still don't understand it. But we have just become so cussed. And I'm not necessarily arguing that the Rockies are a better organization, because that'd be a stupid argument.
It's a silly argument.
It's a stupid, from organizational
They had one special
structure,
year
organizational
where
structure.
Everything had to go right. They made baseball history.
And I would trade
and it
all
was a
the
magical
Nuggets
season.
Appearances for that. I would trade all of the Nuggets playoff appearances.
If they
would
have won, I'd at least have the conversation. But this is it's a silly conversation. They didn't win the World Series. They did not win at all.
They've made it further in their playoffs than the Nuggets ever have.
Who went to the Super Bowl 8 years ago
and
lost?
In far less
typically don't know.
In far less years that they've been around. The Rockies have only been around. This is their 30th year. That's it. The Nuggets have been around for
a long
time.
Where were the Nuggets in year 30? What did they do in 30 years? I'm guessing they went to one of their Western Conference Finals appearances. They were in the playoffs. They were an ABA champion.
That doesn't count.
I'm just saying, it was, if you want to just go to the 30-year mark, the Nuggets, their first 30 years, were going to the playoffs on a regular basis. The Rockies have been five times. Two of those times have been with Nolan Arenado. So even in their early stages, they went, once in the 90s? Twice in the 90s?
Right. But, I mean, how much success do you immediately think a team should have when they come in? Now you're getting to the point. The Rockies are very not...
Well, your owner says he doesn't even expect to make the playoffs. So you're not... Good luck with that. You're not going to see it.
I respect the realism at this point. I do. I respect him being real about it. Here's what we're going to do.
Wouldn't you rather your owner? Now, again, I don't want Dick Monfort saying we're going to win 90 games and we're gonna compete for a World Series.
I was happy with the 500 comment. If we can play 500, that's 20 games over what they're expected to do.
I'd take that over the over-the-moon or under-the-moon stuff that we've heard from Dick Monfort.
No, and he was right where he was. I think he actually got
He's learned his lesson after 20 years of owning a team.
Every time he goes to the Friends of Baseball event, man, he just got something crazy to throw out there. And it is unusual. And no, the Rockies organizationally run in the long, you know, in the last 20 years or whatever has not been great. But now, nonetheless, the Rockies, tough loss yesterday. But we're turning the page and we're talking about the Denver Nuggets and the Colorado Avalanche. Going to be a fun week next week at Ball Arena with those two teams hosting first round matchups.
Yeah, it really is. It's going to be a great time.
I'm looking forward to it.
So yeah, they've got
most definitely. Except it's going to kill our show. Not that we don't struggle already. 8:30 start times.
You guys going to do that Sunday night?
Well, I will for the Nuggets, most definitely.
I just won't do this on Monday.
I just remember Avalanche playoff runs back in the WA days and so forth, when we would be up watching one of those 8:30 start times get into triple overtime. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're like, I should just go to work. You know, it gets wicked for us out here with those late times.
Well, it also goes to show you, the Nuggets are the number one seed in the West, and they're put on the worst time Sunday night.
Yeah, they're absolutely disrespected nationally again.
And part of that goes into, well, they're playing the worst team that's going to be in the play. Whoever that's going to be is going to be the eighth seed. So part of that plays into it. But I guarantee you, if the Clippers had found themselves in the eighth seed or in this play-in game on Friday, then the Nuggets-Clippers would be at like 6 o'clock or whatever.
Right.
Sunday.
How do you feel about this play-in game? Because they're either going to get the Thunder or the Timberwolves. Preference on who the Nuggets could get there? Who would you prefer the Nuggets face?
That's an interesting one, because OKC plays so hard. They have the underdog mentality, and that's a scary thing. I mean, just ask the Nuggets in the early 90s what that underdog mentality can do for you going up against the number one seed. Minnesota, though, assuming Rudy Gobert is back, which I don't see why he wouldn't be.
It was just one game, I thought.
That was the move that Tim Connelly made in the offseason, because he looked into his crystal ball and said, we might have to go through the Nuggets. At some point, we certainly got to play them four times a year. So we want to get better rim protectors that can slow Nikola Jokic down, and that's pairing him up with Karl-Anthony Towns. So that move is kind of scary as far as neutralizing Joker a little bit. So probably would the ideal matchup is OKC, but I just don't think it's going to be.
You think Minnesota gets that one on Friday?
Yeah, I do.
It's going to be interesting. I think that this could be the time, after all the worries that we've had with the Nuggets, over the last couple of months, this series could get them right. If they come out and just smoke this team, whoever it is, come out and find a way to roll through this 4 or 5 games, gentlemen sweep, I don't care. And that could get that mentality back. I think this is obviously pivotal. I think they win this first round series, but if they win it in 4 or 5, could you see them get a little bit of that swagger back?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to win it in 4 or 5. Yeah, that'll mean that they have swagger back, you know, I guess.
They got that dog in them, you know?
Well, like, that's the swagger thing is...
You don't like the swagger thing, though?
Well, obviously, they're going to win the first round. Does that mean that they've gotten back what they're...
Knock on that wood. That they're obviously going to win that first round.
Yeah.
That I'm hoping they go in with a massive, massive chip on their shoulder.
Oh, I think they will.
And that's going to be it.
That team that showed up for that last month of games, I don't think it's obvious that they're going to win any of the games. I don't think it's just like, oh, yeah, they're obviously going to handle this one. Because we saw them lose to teams there's no way they should have been losing to. So I hope you're right. But if this
And yet, I'm guessing you still think the Rockies are going to win 80-plus games.
No. I just need 65, baby. I need 60 more wins. The Rockies bus is rolling right along. Did you guys figure out what we're starting for the Nuggets and Avalanche? Somebody recommended a Zamboni for the Avs.
Maybe a Zamboni.
Yeah?
But the Nuggets, we got something fun, maybe.
Nuggets is fun.
Yeah, Nuggets will be fun.
The Avs one I haven't quite got a roll on yet.
Yeah, because we don't know where they're going to end.
Like, this is a secret we're not going to get to hear right now.
Well, it's not ready yet.
It's not ready yet.
When will it be revealed?
When will it be revealed? Unveiled?
Probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Probably tomorrow.
All right. Okay.
I'm not sure what we're talking about, so we've confused Brian. Takes a lot to do that.
Yeah, Rockies.
Well, I got jealous because Angel and Tanner have the Rockies bus. And
yes.
Angel and I, you know, we're pretty tight, but we don't have any fun little thing that we're riding around on. So I got a little jealous.
Is that why the Rockies bus has been looking in not great shape? Because you're spending more time
Did you not just compliment me for cleaning it and taking care of it?
I know, man, but it's still getting a little rough around there. Are you spending too much time on this deal?
I'm not the one driving it on and off the road into the ditch saying, oh, let's jump this, let's make this jump, come on.
Come on, that is totally, that's exactly what's going on.
We got this, we can make this.
So, okay, you've got the Rockies bus, which, again, way too much seating for the amount of people who are in
there. It's a short bus.
We got four. Way too much. If it's a sedan, you've got way too much seating.
If it's a motorcycle, you're still kind of...
Lean forward.
Just yeah.
You know, that's it. No room
just
for
Angel
a passenger
holding on tight
whatsoever.
In the back, leaning you know, his head on your back.
I'm getting my little Bronco Spirit Radio Flyer red wagon ready to pull all the people who are going to be on that, too. Things are going to be rocking on there. We're going to get orange slices and juice boxes. So, yeah. Forget the tacos.
So we got he's got the Nuggets covered. I think you need to jump on this Zamboni. I think you need to make this your thing, man. You need to be the driver of the Zamboni for the Avs playoff.
You
run.
Know, I've reached my point in life, Tanner, where I don't feel I need a thing. All right. You know, I'm pretty good.
I'll just watch it, see what happens.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm not rallying.
Don't really need a thing.
You gotta rally
cheering.
The people. Rally the people.
Well, we got Bruce Dick's got to get on something. What's he riding? What's he doing?
The owl.
I'm picturing one of those.
I don't know
stick,
who you're talking about.
I was picturing a stick pony. All right, I can see Bruce.
Well, Bruce is a diehard baseball guy, so he's probably on that Rockies bus. Oh, no, you know what? He's a Buffs guy. He's a CU guy.
Yeah.
So some kind of buffalo.
Unicycle.
Yeah, some kind of bison that he's on. But it's, you know, it's like a stick horse, but it's the head of a bison.
That would work for Bruce a lot.
Because he's all in on primetime down there.
I don't think that's going to pan out very well.
I think it is.
First year?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you think pan out means?
I don't think they win more than four games.
Oh, they'll win more than four games.
No.
The recruits and transfers alone. Might even beat Alabama.
We get frosted tips if they don't win more than four games.
Or just say yes. You don't do your bets anyway.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do it if the Nuggets don't win the first round.
I'll shave my head. Yes.
Shave my head on the sides.
With a bald cap.
I'll shave my head on the sides.
9:53 sticker. 9:54 now. Stick around, Brady. We'll wrap it up next.